But now it comes in the music of the Good Rumor Man. Well, I'm not getting you, though, but I'm getting the guy pushing his little cart of popsicles. Oh, I can hear that, though not through the system. Yes, you're a little grouchy, you say. You know, I think that was dwarf number 8. They already had grumpy, but that is fundamentally different. He had arthritis, I think, in his joints, which made him grouchy. I never saw Roman eating, but online I thought I saw some diagram of his whole metabolism or something. Yeah, there's a lot of Roman stuff, including people who have put it in color, and I must have sent you Roman's row cart, which you can cut out and put together, print it out, print it on cardboard, put tab A in slot B, and you've got Roman's personal vehicle, his row cart. K-A-R-T. Yeah, I sent it to you. Do you still have it? I can send it to you again. Yeah. Well, you know, like the Munster coach or something. I doubt if it's officially approved by Great Gardens.
Star Trek had a lot of weird carts. And, you know, like, away team delivery stealth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
except that they didn't really use wheeled vehicles, and in the one where they went to the gangster planet, they were having trouble driving the 1920s era cars, and Spock was saying helpfully, well, I believe there's a thing you call the clutch, and you put it, and finally Kirk gets it going, and then later on Kirk is having fun with it, saying, this is great, when I get back to Earth I want to have one of these.
To which Spock just raised one eyebrow.
Right,
you
know? He's well, but under that 1920s broad-brimmed hat, he probably didn't see it.
All the greens are on
the gangster world that they went to.
Is it similar to the moon cars they got to drive in real life?
You got to drive moon cars?
Moon cars on the moon.
Oh. Well, that's a little runabout. Doesn't need any license plate, roll bar, safety equipment, anything that would be heavy.
Wait, Herbie Mann rocks? Like, are you? Is this what you're telling me right now?
This is it.
This is it.
Someone enthused about it? Herbie Mann.
Yeah, like somebody just.
Take a while?
They were speaking in musical blasphemy by suggesting that Herbie Mann.
That's like saying Zappa sucks.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
It would always disturb a sterno or if it Jane Stang Fonda. Did that.
Yeah. So Herbie Mann does Hold On, I'm Coming.
I want nothing!
At the Academy Award-winning film Summer of Soul.
Okay, well, that would seem to say decisively.
Only stupid
does
people have such...
I remember
so
that
there's no
now,
more controversy.
I watched that Summer of Soul thing.
Oh my God. Well, they're thinking of Herbie
the Love
Bug.
It was a different time.
It was like, well, it's like Bob Dylan playing electric at the, you know, anytime you shift up away from the rules,
right?
Then people get upset.
Blasphemy.
And there was a lot of rock dabbling back then in 1969.
Things were confusing, okay? Let's go back there.
But then
now.
Everything started getting...
Now I'm going to have a little banana juice.
Smoothed out in 1974.
Here's Richard Nixon. High up over... His little spirit high up over the White House.
Flying around like some giant insect. Only it's Nixon. Buzzing, bumbling.
The same week I went to Vietnam, Jane Fonda went to Vietnam. In the same week I went to
same
Vietnam,
week.
Roger Stone went to the White House and got a job. And Roger Stone is the guy responsible, pretty much, for bringing Nixon out of his slump after the of course, illegal and dishonest Watergate. And Roger moved in with him in New Jersey and stayed with him. And
so he kept Nixon out of jail, basically.
He kept Nixon in the game, kind of, because Nixon went through a real depressing time. Yeah,
like if you're in the game.
Nixon was losing it at that time.
Yeah, and so he said, no, you can still do this. You can be the elder statesman.
Right. Oh, did he drop that line?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
It was
nice.
His whole thing of like, I got to get this guy back in the ring.
Right. Because that's what you, that's your takeaway from Oliver Stone's Nixon.
Is
that
what?
They play the elder statesman bit.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
That's why I love the Frost Nixon things. The post presidency Nixon is, you know, just, he's more interesting than Trump. But it is fun to see everybody losing
Nixon
it.
Nixon was a Federalist. He believed in the government.
That's a generation that came out of World War II. They believed in what they were doing in a way that their kids never did. Man, peace.
So he was a little funny fighting the commies. Who wasn't back then?
Roger Stone's one of those incredibly cartoonishly exaggerated villains with his
with his little tattoo,
pinstripe suit, and so on. My God!
I bought his book at Costco many years ago when it came out, and I opened the dust cover on the back. Had that little, it had a picture of Nixon. And it's a picture you see a lot, and that's all it was. Where it said the book author, and I thought, what? And so, and I got it in part because it looked like it was made in Taiwan. There were blocks upside down. There were blocks repeated of paragraphs repeated. It was just really badly edited. And I thought, this is a treat. And turns out that picture of Nixon is on Stone's back. It's a
tattoo.
It's like his tattoo. Yeah. So that's what he put as his author picture. Wow.
They meant it all right.
And he's still out there punching. I guess, though, now his... probably his life's pretty miserable because he's down at the level where the lawyers go after you.
They're all saying executive privilege, but even Trump may not have executive privilege.
Right.
Until he becomes reelected.
Yeah, that, exactly. That happens because of... but who knows? Who knows? We got a crazy... everybody's got crazy countries at the top these days. Li Jinping is kind of steering a standard Chinese ancient course of neutrality.
Myanmar
makes sense.
That's so awful.
Yeah, there's too much cares. Probably more of that coming. In the Pacific.
I never knew Helen.
In South America.
Missed out the joker by
in Africa.
He gave me the talisman.
In the Balkans.
When no older
in
than
the
boy.
Philippines.
The echo wind of Hawk. And Kellogg's.
Yeah, I wish I could watch Lady Hawk again and then...
shattered superstition.
But that disco music ruins it for
the
me.
Lady Hawk, mommy.
Hexagram.
I don't remember the disco music.
Yes, it's full of electronic disco music in this medieval setup.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't bother some people, but it bothers me.
I'm pretty sure... well, it's the only way to see it back then. It was on the theater, you know, paid money for that. But Krall erased all memory before for me.
Vile brown rats.
Krall just ruined life for a long time. I couldn't get out of bed. I was so depressed.
Well, everything builds up to it. Not very good, Carlo Rambaldi monster. But on the way, you get the giant glass spider scene, which is a really nice part of that movie.
Well, the worst movies have the best sort of subgenius prophecy in there.
Then there's that flying thing that you throw, the glaive, the Cyclops guy.
I did like their set of the swampy world.
Yeah.
K-Ro.
But the whole thing with
Freddie
Francis.
It's all about earning the bee.
I thought Pepe was getting my name wrong. I was going to take a swing at the guy.
It's about time. That's how you get famous, apparently. Never
treat a man wrong. Slap.
Thanks, Hal. Now I'm going to sue you and throw my Academy Award on the ground.
Keep your name out of your...
yeah, everybody's life's gone crazy now. Everybody's wife. Everybody's life has gone crazy. So what DJ Pussycat has up is apparently what's on the marquee outside. Melodio out of your mommy sexing wife thing.
This will make a direct quote from the Academy Awards.
Remember when Liza Minnelli and Betty Davis got in that huge fight?
Yeah, we had to separate them. It wasn't easy.
Well, it's what you pray for, you know. We all go to the races to see the one car crash and happen right every 5 years.
Betty could dish it out.
But it's more like the Derby. Like, you don't want to see the horses get hurt, you know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I'm
gonna win. But the jockeys.
That's why the horses were replaced.
They do the red carpet thing at the Derby, you know, they roll them out. You know, hey, look, it's the...
And then Amy Schumer falls down for a laugh.
And the horses bow down to the local celebrities, as they have been trained to do.
Hey,
yeah, what if
idiot.
We could just back up the thing, you know, and take the slap back, and then they could be friends again.
Well,
no, what would happen is that he'd go up, and then you'd stop time, and then you'd make them hug each other, and then he's like hugging him, and then he's like, oh.
You mean like Dark City guys?
Yeah.
Put your arm here, and then put, yeah. Oh, and then they wake up, oh.
Because to Chris Rock, he wouldn't have like think that anything else was wrong. Yeah. Right.
He'd think like, that was the funniest joke I ever heard.
Exactly, yeah.
All huggy.
And he's like, oh, shucks, I can't stay mad at you. Because now he's commit. Now he has to commit to the hug now.
But what if he's commitment phobic?
Oh, look, they like each other. Oh, they were just playing.
Don't you realize you're on the same side?
I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
All the cattle are standing like statues.
With Florida orange juice.
All the cattle
Florida
are
banana
standing
juice.
Like statues.
The family
they don't
just loves
turn
it, yeah.
Their heads as they see me ride by.
With Florida orange juice.
But a little brown maverick is winking her eye.
Wink, wink.
Oh,
over here.
What
over here.
A beautiful morning.
This is where I got up and I went to the show and it was radio and everything was cool.
I got a
yeah, the corn was as high as an elephant's eye.
Everything's
going Relodio's way.
Except that they haven't fixed the CD player.
Oh, you had to bring that up.
And everything was unconnected, which gave me a few moments of terror.
Did you get the... Nobody got the... You know that... So it's
well, it's used, and now it's been abused. And so it's given up.
Look, it's
halfway.
Sad.
I have to mix with Robo DJ. I mean, DJ Otto,
get
we
up,
call
little CD player.
It'll have to be taken apart. It looks as if there's been some violent attempt to get to the disc with a screwdriver.
Really?
The door is not there anymore, or is partly open or something.
That's great.
There's no
access
port.
I just assumed
can't
it
push
wasn't
wire in there.
So I brought in this cheap... I bring in this cheap little DVD player I got at the White Elephant sale years ago. Have it here with me now, and it, you know, it plays CDs well enough.
Yes, there's that. But
you have
it's
to
difficult
add
to pick a certain...
Because I'm not leaving that place until there's a stack of six CD players all broken, you know, on top of each other.
But it was none, actually.
First time played with a selector.
But worse than that, they had vital stuff unplugged that I never had to figure out how to replug before. That was a lesson in itself. You can hear that, unfortunately, at the beginning of my show. That things, you know, I can't get the music going. I can't do this.
Human.
Can you get satisfaction, or is it just no satisfaction?
Oh, no, I get it started. I have my ways of doing the usual beginning and end.
The point was to assemble all these parts, violinist and singer.
The butterfly.
Is this that Reloadio Transformer movie? Where John Hell does the voice of...
He does Leonard Nimoy's part.
Okay. Yeah. Right, in the remake.
Well, whose car or bicycle turns into a 20-foot robot?
John Hell.
Oh, okay.
Dials turns into a Prince tour.
At the Super Bowl.
My bathroom.
The new Marvel movie got very good reviews.
Morbius,
the living vampire, yes. And they said that whoever made it was, you know, really skillful in it. You know, that all these superhero movies end up with a climax where there's two guys hitting each other on a roof. And, of course, it's even in this movie, but they managed to make even that interesting.
Baseball is pastoral.
Then there's that sitcom-like thing where Marvel superheroes live together in a menage. Does it have a laugh track? Have you ever seen it?
WandaVision?
WandaVision, yes. Yeah. Ever seen it?
Yeah.
You find it amusing?
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. I like that one and Loki.
Yeah, both of those are wonderful.
Well, Loki be an interesting
Loki
character.
Be a wise ass. Well, everybody's wise ass. It's, what's his name? The ultimate
Deadpool.
Wise ass. Owen.
The
Owen.
Ultimate wise ass.
What's his name? Owen Wilson.
Yeah, Owen Wilson. It's wonderful. Yeah, and Wanda's completely weird, strange opening. The only better one is the beginning of Black Widow. The first 10 minutes of that movie are wonderful, where you just go from nice, happy family.
Mm-hmm.
And within 7 minutes, you've got Russian agents shooting and airplanes taking off. And then they get to where they're going, and the mean agents take the kids away, and the parents turn out to be Russian agents, and it's all very dark and weird. And you're,
what?
And then they go through the credit sequence.
Then they nail the Twilight Zone aesthetic really well, you know.
Yeah.
They don't do a Twilight Zone, but they do a kind of a, in a lot of ways, a better one, you know. Better than the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone officially sanctioned rehash or reboot or whatever.
Never saw it. What are they, what's that like?
It's not as good as Black Mirror.
Huh.
You know, Black Mirror kind of nails it. And, you know, it's kind of like when they did Twilight Zone in the mid-80s.
I remember that. There were some good episodes.
Yeah, it's like this one. There's some good ones, but you know, it's not that great.
There's the woman who can stop time, Melinda Dillon, I believe. And she's in some argument, some soap opera-like situation, you know, but she finds she can stop time, and then all the terrible things that people are saying, just people are frozen, you know, she can relax, do what she wants. And so she stops time, and then she goes outside, and right over the house in the frozen stop time moment is a Russian nuclear ICBM, and World War III has started, and...
Right.
You know, if she ever unstops time, she'll be right in the middle of the thermonuclear war.
I hate it when that
So
happens.
She has to be there forever and ever and ever. You can read the big CCCP, you know, on it a fraction of a second before it crashes into their house and goes off.
Okay.
Baseball is played.
Or another good one that I remember
Football's
from that series was about the horrible... nightclub comedian, you know, the insult guy, you know, who's really a very hateful person, and he dies. And then when he wakes up, he finds he's in the afterlife in hell, and they say, well, here you are, you're in hell, you know, but it's not going to be so bad, you know, we've booked you into this nightclub, you know, and you're going to have a gig every night, so, and that's the way eternity is going to be for you, so get in there, you know, show starts in a few minutes. So he goes in, he goes in, and he absolutely bombs, you know, nobody will laugh at his, at his jokes, and he gets worse and worse, you know, and they sit there solidly, and the flop sweat is running down, and he doesn't know what to do, and finally a voice comes from the back of the room saying, tell about the time you beat up the hooker. And when he tells humiliating stories about his horrible life, they love it, they applaud, and they
right, that's
they go
whole,
crazy. And he has a triumphant set, and he gets off the stage exhausted, and the devil manager comes up and says, "Oh, you're great. See, what did I tell you? You killed him. You'll be doing this every night, and we've got a bed here. You can sleep in the back, you know. This is your home forever and ever." "You fool, this is the other place." Which is true. You have to live with yourself forever. That's going to determine whether it's heaven or hell.
Right. What was the show he had with the two kids?
A Family Affair, yeah. I'm afraid it was called. But I recently saw Between Two Worlds, which is the one about the people on an ocean liner, and two of them know that it's going from this world to the next life, and so on. And finally, a pilot boat meets them, and Sidney Greenstreet comes aboard, and he's the official from heaven who decides which way you go. It's a pretty interesting movie. It starts with them getting blown up by a bomb in England, where the bombs are raining down.
Hawaii's, I mean, it was one of those, forgotten movies by the 60s.
It's this spooky atmosphere of the liner going through endless mist and fog and clouds.
Wonderful. I was just, what's the one with David Niven in the aircraft, and he speaks to a lady on the ground, and...
That is called two things. One title, the British title is A Matter of Life and Death, but it is more generally known as Stairway to Heaven.
Right. And I can never remember
because
that
there's
one.
A stairway that goes to heaven.
Yeah. There is an actual stairway, yes.
And all these airmen and seamen are going up it.
And they go, there's a Coke machine here. Cool. And they have a Coke.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
That was, I think, was that made by the Archers? By Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger?
Mm-hmm.
They made Black Narcissus, which is an amazing movie. Mm-hmm. But the one I've never seen is the one that destroyed Michael Powell's career forever.
Which was?
Peeping Tom.
Oh, I remember that.
About a weirdo who captures a woman and has her as a slave in the basement.
Not David Warner, but the Peeping Tom himself was...
Supposedly it's a masterpiece, but it offended so many people that, that was the end of his career. And his career was brilliant. Did amazing things.
Yeah, but he's a weirdo now. I mean, each movie is a direct representation of actual thoughts by the director.
Well, you see, there's some confusion. That depicting something doesn't mean that you approve of it.
Exactly.
It means you're commenting on it. You're creating something. It doesn't mean you're saying, see, this is what you should do, kids.
Yeah, I remember seeing it and it was boring because I didn't catch any of the intellectual drift. Thank you. That was a little confession of mine.
Well,
and they love it. Look at them; they're going crazy.
I'm going to sleep up here now. From now on, I have to be on the show 24 hours a day.
Black Narcissus. There are the weird nuns in a convent getting weirder and weirder, and they're in some Himalayan nation. They're out in the high baseball mountains, and there are yaks and priests and giant. Cliffs of views that go down forever, madness and so forth. It seems very authentic until you read that the whole thing was shot in England at Twickenham Studios or something like that. Everything, the camels, yaks, whatever they use, it seems very authentic when you look at it, like you're actually in an Asian country. All the cliff views are special effects, matte paintings. It's a pretty interesting show.
You know what I saw last night was Flesh Gordon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And it's...
Which version?
The 70, early 70s one, maybe?
Well, the thing is, it was just a porno film, and then they put so much work into it that there was a stupid decision. Well, let's clean it up a little bit, cut those scenes, and it'll be kind of a goofy film. So you have to be
sure.
Yeah,
that's the one you saw.
Is that the version, or do you see the original, the Penisaurus and all those creatures?
Well, there's a stop-motion monster in it that kind of does like a King Kong.
Yeah, it's the Nez Uara, or Harryhausen backwards.
Okay.
But before that, in the cave there's the Penisaurus. Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
It's like a penis with Styracosaurus horns and things on it. Also, the Beetle Man sequence, which is one of the most brilliant animation scenes. You remember that one, Beetle Man? He fights with the hero.
I just caught the scenes I caught for the first time last night because it was playing on the same channel we saw the Russ Meyer movie. And
right. Well, I bet you they won't show the Penisaurus, but if you used Beetle Man scene as search words, you could probably watch the whole freaking scene. I believe I saw it sometime not too long ago. It's animated by Jim Danforth. It's pretty good. Has nothing to do with sex whatsoever, like the other ones do. The giant rips off the girl's clothes, and Penisaurus looks like a penis, but the Beetle Man is just this weird science fiction creature. And then they have, of course, Dr. Flexi Jerkov instead of Dr. Zarkov. And Prince Precious, which is a comment that one might make about the original serial as far as the wood people from the floating whatever they were kind of...
Were you saying something?
About the original Flash Gordon serials, which were also edited into a single movie called Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe.
I remember.
On this...
We all remember, Hal.
On this...
I wanted to hear what Rob was saying about this.
I was typing it down.
Were you typing it in stereo?
Just typing? Okay.
Stereotyping. Now you're a lousy audience. Well, it's an interesting time period as the all the movie prohibitions, the production code was relaxed. You had the rating system come but really anything was possible. A very strange era in movies where you still had drive-ins, but people could be driving on the freeway and look over and see a giant naked woman on the drive-in screen and have a car accident.
There was one of those on the corner of, on the border of Sonoma and Marin County.
That one down in the valley there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that place was so fun to drive by and just look over and see a giant picture in the darkness.
I know.
And moving, like a movie piece.
Right, and it's like, you knew it was porno, but you really couldn't make anything out because they were feature-length movies, you know, like hour-long maybe once, but... But yeah, they would double feature porno movies, you know.
Something would have to be present in the very second that you were able to look and then look back at what you were doing.
I may still have part of it. A movie back when I was going with Bonnie that long ago about the destruction of drive-in theaters. It was on Channel 9. And it was, she and I were constantly taping to steal quotes for the show back then. And I got that thing in two parts on VHS, and that's amazing to think how long ago it was, and they were already saying, yeah, that whole world is over.
But in Arizona, it's natural for, a nice warm night, giant screen, even in the middle of the city of Tucson. It took a long time for them to go, but even the remote ones were interesting. Way out in the desert, they often had monster movies and things.
I went with Philo and his wife and daughter to the one in Concord on occasion.
What did you see?
It was really fun. The drugs, the war, the excitement, I can't remember.
No.
But it would have been, I think, at the height of that, because then when COVID, they really made out like bandits. When COVID happened, they remained open. Everything died at first, but when people realized it wasn't passed along if you were outside mostly, they came back because it was one of the few things you could still do with your family.
Yeah,
people
car is your pod.
Yeah, people brought whole dinners and tables and stuff.
I guess the trip to the refreshment stand didn't happen anymore because it's COVID.
I'm sure that's where they make money. And there are a lot of people, most people just come to see the movie, so they go to get a dancing hot dog and a smiley face Coke.
Come back. Hot dog's getting away.
Yeah. And a Mrs. Richardson's caramel pie.
Not to mention a Castleberry's barbecue beef sandwich, individually foil wrapped. And soft drinks, all colors.
There's cancer-causing chemicals in everything you buy.
How about some spicy French fries?
Yes.
And, of course, popcorn. Drenched in rich.
Wasn't that the name of Dr. Howell's nightclub, Popcorn? I vaguely remember that.
I guess it's
well,
been
the dark room
the
had
drugs,
a popcorn
the
maker.
More, I've forgotten.
Yeah, there's something about the smell of popcorn.
Yeah.
Well, that the outdoor theater at Barbara's Point for me was the thing. That was, the popcorn was 10 cents. The admission was 15 cents.
Right.
And different movie every night. But that smell of that popcorn.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just the smell of the popcorn, but when you heat up the butter to melt it in the microwave oven, that combined with the smell of popcorn produces a maddening stimulus. So the other night I was watching Dracula, Prince of Darkness, and I remembered that I first saw it out in the desert at a drive-in in 1966. And my friends who were monster fans also...
How old were you?
Well, I would have been 15, I think.
Who drove?
I guess my friend must have. But I was driving at 16. I had this
right,
wonderful convertible Mercury Comet.
Oh, nice.
It was great. You know. Yeah. Also, Tucson was a lot easier to deal with before it got so overbuilt. You could drive to the ends of roads where they just stopped. And now they never stop.
They never stop.
So this was a cool car to go to the drive-in. You could leave the top down. You could sit on the back seat and you could watch the film with not through the windshield, but over it. I mean, you could sit on the you understand, the rear platform, the back seat is where you put your feet. So we watched...
And you ate hot dogs and Coke.
Well, you could. You could always do that. It was enjoyable to go to the...
Hot dogs anymore.
What
anymore?
About hot dogs? Well,
we she said anymore.
You no longer eat hot dogs?
Why don't you guys bring me hot dogs anymore?
Well, I should bring better than that. I could bring huge bratwursts.
Okay,
and,
order them up.
Well, I can't get them now.
I think our food's ready.
Next time.
Yes.
Wait, why we don't get to eat the make-believe hot dogs?
No. There are Polish sausages, all sorts of good things that you can get, and also the hot dog relish, the onion to chop, the mustard, hot peppers.
You know that we're saying this on the radio, right? So it's all happening right now.
Well, it's happening in the mind's eye. Without bothering the digestive system.
Great show switch.
Hot dog, the motion picture.
They're vegan hot dogs, right?
No, they're not, but I know where to buy those tasteless things. I think the real hot dogs do less harm than the vegan hot dogs.
Vegan every once in a
while. You see, I don't believe that soy products are good for the human.
Does Robot Monster eat soy products?
I'm not sure Robot Monster, you know, we don't know how he assimilates and eliminates. We don't know. Perhaps it is best that we do not know. Perhaps it's energy that keeps his body going.
This is what Ricardo Montalban thinks about when he's hashing over his... career
in heaven, as they decide which heaven he goes to. In
the one with rich Corinthian leather.
What was the art car burn-up thing in 85? Yeah, the Cadillac, the guys did Cadillac Ranch, did Media Burn.
Oh, yes.
And in Media Burn, they have an interview with the John Kennedy president actor character. No, it's in,
Martin Sheen or William Devane?
No, I can't remember his name, but it's Christopher What's-His-Face from New York. From Ant Farm, playing Kennedy, and he's asked by an interviewer, a hippie-looking individual,
a hippie-type individual,
what happens when you get shot? And he said, you go to heaven. And the hippie guy says, oh, is it nice? And he goes, no, I go to political heaven. Like each, so then they go to, on to explain that each, they have like rock and roll heaven, political heaven,
right, right.
French guy heaven, yeah. So he's going
to. I'm not taking this hair to rock heaven.
Yeah, and he's just casually mentioning he'll meet De Gaulle and Winston Churchill, but not Jim Morrison and Mick Jagger. You know. Sorry, folks, if that's where you thought that was going.
What do we got in the theaters right now? I mean, what could it be? If only I could.
So they just talk? Is that the deal?
Yeah. Usually. Or no.
As usual.
That's what the little girl said in Aliens, right? She said, usually.
Right.
No, she said, mostly.
No, I was just saying, what the problem for me is that we had St. Stupid's Day,
mostly,
and now
come out
everybody's
at night.
Stupid.
Mostly.
Yeah.
It just affected people.
So what happened with the St. Stupid, without St. Stupid parade?
It was like walking behind people in the movie Cocoon, you know, just light coming out of them, and it was making everybody around them stupid.
Wow.
And it still persists to this day.
Let's get in that water here.
Wilford Brimley.
Which we won't talk about here.
Well,
nope, see, it's
at the
erased, it's gone.
Same time,
don't worry about it.
He had made a number of other interesting movies. He made The Knack, which was a very influential movie of the 60s and was about the time as well as
They're
about its
characters.
They're
still fun to watch because it's snappy pattern. And And they invented the snappy 60s pattern and edited. So
what do you think of How I Won the War? Well, everyone was aware of the austerity in Britain that was post-war. That is sort of what the movie does. You know, there are these exhilarating scenes that always go to disappointment. Because that was their experience, the national experience.
Sure.
Where you end up waiting in a line, you know, for stale soda crackers or something. You know, after all this.
Yep. In fact, that's what... the British ambassador to the U.S. was asked at that party at the embassy. The embassy or somebody's house. I forget. Where will the Beatles show up? He says, were the Beatles' revenge for Skybolt, which we had sold to the British a few years before in the 50s. It was this horrible, non-working ground-to-air defense system. And they were on their knees, like France. They had been hit hard by this war. And were the younger brother who surpassed them in wealth and work now. And but the ambassador said, no, it's for all the spam you sent over during the war.
Like Land of the Pharaohs. I've watched that one many times. I've enjoyed it.
Why?
Well, all sorts of good stuff is in there. For one thing, it's got a cast of thousands. I mean, it actually does. You can look in
the
remote distance and see.
The sand fire doors closing?
Yes, the sand trickling out. When they break the little pottery nozzles that contain the sand, the whole process starts.
Yeah.
And then in other things, blocks of stone slide down channels. And as they slide, they hit more pottery spigots and more sand comes out. And the more sand comes out, the more the giant blocks come close and lock together. So everybody is locked in there to die, including Joan Collins, the evil...
That's right, the bad girl.
Bad girl.
But who was the priest in that scene? The heavy hitter.
Well, the guy I
who knows that the doors were going to close.
Remember, is his name in the movie,
right,
but I can't remember.
That's
the
great, at the end where she realizes, and he always knew. That's a nice dynamic,
right?
And I remember thinking as a kid, get closed in the pyramid.
The whole nation is involved in building this thing, but meanwhile, this petty palace thing, you know, kind of wrecks everything. And as he's dying, the pharaoh sees she's wearing something that she shouldn't even have access to. You know, corrupted his incorruptible.
And Joan Collins selling it,
but she is as queen of Egypt, yes, sir. But she's not going to be allowed out of the sealed-up giant pyramid. So, Howard Hawks, I think he did a good job with it. It's very watchable.
Saturday Night at the Movies, remember? And those
yes.
Always had those movies on. They were wonderful. And we didn't care about commercials back then, folks. I didn't care because we loved them. Where I was, the commercials were mostly local.
Well, sometimes
really,
they were embarrassing.
Sometimes really terrible.
You never knew what was coming on, yeah. but some of them were entertaining.
And just, you can't see that because it's radio, and maybe you just shouldn't see it.
Well, we all remember certain commercials that were beamed at us.
Similar to that.
Tucson had many
where you were a small market as well.
Local commercials right. that we could all make fun of, and I was at Burning Man with somebody who had grown up there, and we were having fun exchanging the commercials that we'd all been bombarded with. Like for Lucky Wishbone Chicken and for Wally Sevitt's Swamp Coolers and Fitzgerald the Color TV King.
We're on the snow planet!
So no word on doing the TV thing that you did. When you're traveling inside the big TV screen. Is what
travel inside. Oh, no, that's coming back. That's another reason I have to get out there.
Yep.
I thought maybe I could sit it out, and Flash said you'd be lucky if you could. But on the other hand, that camp is a really nice place to be.
Yeah.
I feel it's you know, it's easy, it's fun. They do a fun show that goes all over the place. You know, we get to see everything because we're inside that thing riding around, and other people get to see us. So it's fun, and we can have the guys from Antiques Roadshow on, you know, assessing people's supply of swag. It's very honestly too.
Yep, worth every penny, I think.
It is fun, but I wonder if I'm going to be given a free ticket, and if not, well, I guess nobody will
know.
You know, if you want a ticket, don't you have to wait at a certain point, which may have already
right
come and gone?
Wait
to pounce on the TV when the second comes. Not the TV, the laptop or whatever, or your phone. When the second comes that you can buy Burning Man tickets. In about 6 minutes, all the tickets are sold. And if you didn't get one, you're too bad.
Yep.
You know, well, we have to do it this way because reasons.
Standards of practice.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the vault, in the basement of the Mercury News, is a shot of me in a suit with my gun in hand, holding on to the nose of one of the
doggy
diner
heads,
and they are referring to a security man protecting the heads during the parade because John Law had stepped on the gas to go, and I almost.
Yeah.
Flipped off the trailer,
right.
So the nose was a wink. It always saves you. But my tie is askew, my jacket's open. It's a wonderful shot. And that was the year that Bishop Joey was not there. And the cops assumed, because I had a radio in my hand the whole time. So as you guys would march in the regular way, I would go roundabout through other courtyards and stuff, and the tax squad would follow me because they assumed I was leading the thing somehow. Because there was no Bishop Joey. There was no obvious.
Right.
And they'd had words with him, so they knew he wasn't there, and was he going to swoop in and destroy the city with nuclear stupidity? They didn't know. They were scared. They were running scared, but it was a fun. That was a
yeah, professionally
fun.
Paranoid.
Because they'd already met up with the Santos, and they didn't want to see any more of that nonsense.
Well, that's a more of an alcohol-fueled thing than this is. These are the gentle folk marching along. So I'd better get that news article with the big color picture before it gets thrown out and recycled. It's got a nice one of Ed, too. It's, the funny thing is that all this coverage on the year that it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And the article in the SF Gate is the something about the ritual of wooden die. So, it's, yeah.
Yes,
but
that was what
somebody,
it said
there
in
was
the
a woman
who's
shot as a stringer. She was there. She's always been there every year. So
Heather Knight. Is she the one?
I don't know her name.
Oh, okay.
They don't have
as many columnists as they used to.
Exactly. And I actually told somebody, my cousin Paul Avery, after he retired from the Bee, would come down and sort of cover it. It was the funniest thing. I have Vimeo. It's on Vimeo. I have a tape of him interviewing Ed, and he was just having fun with it. He just wanted to cover all the silly stuff in the city.
There's a Vietnamese woman, Vanessa Hua.
Yes, that might be who I met. Yeah, I just noticed her on the periphery every year taking stills.
California.
Well, so it's first there's the jump up and down where the mechanic statue is, and then the Pacific Sock Exchange, then the Banker's Heart. No, wait. First, there's the Tomb of Stupid, right? Where they knock on it and ask him to come out, but he never does.
It's time to release the California.
I think that's what it is. Yes, the Tomb of Stupid is next. But does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's where they kill Bishop Joe every year.
Ritually, the dying god, killed and then reborn in this quaint and yet powerful primitive ceremony performed here. Now, let's see if we can get a little closer and hear what they're
saying. You told me
saying.
That you killed it.
It is fascinating to see how these devoted, one might say demented, people still adhere to these simple rituals. Finally got the speed buses racing down Van Ness, and maybe the businesses will come back. Bart is up and running again. June is busting out all over in April.
San Francisco.
Now you can purchase Blu-rays and DVDs of every episode of Streets of San Francisco.
California.
Which makes me wonder, are you totally kidding? Who would watch that? I mean, especially discs of that
dumb
show.
Is what he means. What? Also, if you watch from like the second season on, when you watch it, the entire thing from one end to the other, look at Michael Douglas's ties. They get progressively more horrible.
Yeah.
It's an era of polyester fibers.
You mean through the show? One episode, the tie gets more and more...
I believe that one of the art people was having a great time going to Goodwills in the San Francisco area.
Getting horrible splatter ties.
They just get louder and weirder. And it's wonderful. I'm trying to find out if that's a real thing. Yeah, those were at Amoeba once. I saw them in the box, stayed for a while, and then I saw a person snap it open. I actually asked, and he said, because he loves San Francisco shows, anything about San Francisco.
Yeah, but...
San Francisco! Yeah, like the word
like, as if you... I mean, do you watch Hawaii 5-0 to see Hawaii in it?
Yeah.
You know, you do.
No, I don't.
No, you know, but the thing is, I mean, you're going to see...
But
mostly crap, and then a few shots.
If I were sitting in the airport
California.
For an hour and it came up, I would stare at it because of, the shots of Hawaii. They actually shot there, so, you know, as opposed to the stuff you and I grew up with where they shot it. Everything.
In
combat
Vancouver.
Was in San Fernando Valley.
Right. Or the farm that was outside.
We all want to go to California.
Los Angeles, where so many stuff was shot.
Right. including metal-eating bird, folks. Look for that metal-eating bird.
Well, and scenes that were supposed to be in Italy, from 20 million miles to Earth, scenes that were supposed to be in Eastern Europe, all the same place, slightly dressed with different prompts.
Which is magical.
Yeah. Well, Dracula, Prince of Darkness does it too with a nice combination of paintings and actual forest locations. And of course, when Roman Polanski made his vampire movie, he actually went into the Balkans and he filmed in thousand-year-old castles and things like that.
Like, oh God, what's Kelly's Heroes?
They were what in the Balkans?
They went to, I think, Hungary.
Hungary, strictly from Hungary.
And they had, Hungary had just suffered a horrible civil war, and so the deal was you could go to a Hungarian village and rent the village for very little money, you know, given Hollywood money. And there's a scene in it where it's a
goulash you can eat.
An American tank and a German tank are confused. No, they're competing with each other about a bunch of gold in a church. So at one point, you see this American tank who wins the race grinding up these beautiful marble steps with the metal.
No. Is it a Sherman?
I believe it is. Probably is, just because it looked. Yeah, it was long haired Donald Sutherland. And
yeah.
It was that FTA era for them. And the movie's okay. It's fun. And it looks gorgeous because they're in this incredibly beautiful country. But that moment where they're just grinding up this poor town's little heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of stoner hippies in a tank. It's a bummer, man. It's a bummer. But the music makes me feel all calm again.
Also in 20 million miles to Earth. We escaped
the
Venusian monster, animated by Ray Harryhausen. It climbs up the outside of the Colosseum, and it's inside the Colosseum. And so all these tanks and jeeps come scooting in, and you can see them, the treads of the tanks, tearing up the recently surfaced road there, which they had to pay for. You know, that's making huge tank tread scars. And that's just one of the many things to look for in 1956, 20 Million Miles to Earth. Joan Taylor and William Hopper.
And then in the monkey movie with the astronaut, the human astronaut, I believe, comes back and lands in the Lincoln Memorial, and the whole world
the
here is
Planet
apes.
Of the Apes.
Yeah. Yes, I haven't seen the movies. But that hurt my heart when he lands. I don't even remember. He lands smack dab in that beautiful marble and breaks three or four of the steps.
Does Lincoln have an ape head? Or
yes,
something?
He's in everything's apes, and that's the like, oh my god, moment at the end. I saw
you
that,
damn dirty ape.
Sort of, yeah. Recreation of that in a great way, because it was an effective scene. It was like landing.
Not with me, because I couldn't understand what in the world it meant.
Neither could I. I went.
Does he come back many centuries later?
Yeah, that's what I always assumed. You've gone forward in time.
Okay.
Since you have to kill Hitler if you go backward in time.
You gotta kill Hitler.
Danger 5. You ever seen that?
You
There's
can't
a chicken headed or a hawk headed commanding officer, and it's an Australian, really black humor series. A bunch of secret agents.
Danger, danger.
And the Danger 5 CO always comes in and goes, you know, this week we have to do this and this and this. And then the briefing on what they have to do, their mission. And always at the end of 8 says, and kill Hitler.
And pull down
Hitler's
right
a character.
Turns,
he's like,
and don't forget, kill Hitler.
Yeah. And Hitler's like this guy who keeps showing
sir,
up.
Sir, yes, sir.
Shooting up nightclubs and stuff. He's like a mafia boss kind of thing.
And there's always a Hitler slow motion window breaking, like he dives through.
Like in Jojo Rabbit?
Sort of. It's just tired looking little Hitler guy.
Hitler goes out the window in that one through the glass.
That's a wonderful movie.
But it's too bad when they kill nice Scarlett Johansson.
Well, somebody's got to do it after she did that one where she made all those guys explode in the black jello.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was
and lured them into the black jar.
Al said, you got to see this movie one night. So I went over there, and I was really scared. Good. It's gorgeous. I mean, man, what a piece of film work. Yeah, really simple, really pretty. She's really pretty.
You've seen that one, haven't you, Rob?
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin. Oh, it's nice. It's, it has Stanley Kubrick like feel to
like
it.
25 cents.
And it's an amazing film. They're a thought provoking.
That's why she turned into the Black Widow. Okay.
Yeah, well, she was Black Jello first.
She was.
She made the guys explode in the Black Jello first.
She's an alien under the skin of this woman at the start. You know, she puts on her skin and her clothes and so on. But
why does she choose that particular skin? That's what I don't understand.
Why are they doing anything? They're aliens. It's difficult to tell what they're doing, but there are other ones. The whole purpose seems to be to lure certain people into this meta-dimensional realm of black jello, and then they're kind of ground up and all their body flows out like a liquid or something. But she's kind of, by acting the part, she's kind of getting there also. And the interactions are most interesting. But in the end, they get her.
Get her. She turns into the Black Widow.
Well, a guy attacks her, a psychopath, rapist attacks her, but it proves to be not what he's expecting. But then he comes back and splashes gasoline on her and burns her up because he's so horrified.
People climbed up the scaffolding and knew that...
They knew? I mean, they just knew.
Well, it was obvious. To get those microphones as plump as any berry in a forbidden garden. To undo the microphones and take them out. And that's why we're being punished with a broken CD player today.
Hal drew a direct line from scaffolding.
Yeah,
that's the true line.
Yeah, well, all kinds of people have keys to the studio. While I was doing it 2 weeks ago or sometime fairly recently, people kept unlocking the door who I'd never seen before and come in and go to the bathroom and then they would go out and lock the door. Maybe they have shows, but I don't think this kid who came in had a show. He's too young. I don't believe we've got any 15-year-olds having shows on RV.
I bet cool people at the makeout room have access to that box full of keys.
Yeah, probably.
For one person or another.
So don't use that toilet. Go next door. There's just some radio thing going on.
And by the way, the mics aren't worth as much, but here they are.
I'm talking into it right now.
That's why you...
And that's how
you're not going to invest in the real good mics ever again.
Well, I always try to keep the blinds closed.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
It's an arrestable offense because we've decided that you can be arrested for certain things in areas that are designated high drug crime areas. It is not an arrestable offense on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. That's a policy decision. We've made a decision that we are going to invest in black communities through the criminal justice system and in no other way. That's a decision. And so, you know, I mean, that don't mean that the officer, you know, shouldn't have got fired today as he would. That don't mean that at all. But if that's your standard, if that's the enemy, you're just going to keep coming back again and again and again. And you end up talking about individual officers, which, I mean, in its own way, it's actually a really conservative formulation of the question. Because it says if I can get more individual, moral, correct acting officers in place, then maybe we can fix this, as opposed to looking at entire systems.
Advancing the conversation to abolish racism for over 70 years. 94.1 KPFA. Lettucey.
It happens all the time like this. That one person will be right there. And she was just crying. All right. We were getting ready to sing. All right. I hadn't even got the words out. She was already in it. And her eye, she was not too far away, but I just had to tell her to come here. And I held her hand and sang. And I said, see, I had a bad day. I've been performing and I got it all out. And I forget what I do. See, you better remember.
Right.
This is why you're doing it. You belong here to do this. This is your calling, is to ignite something in people, to make them, let them know that they belong too. It's bigger than me. It always has been bigger than me. Mm.
KPFA, storytelling for social change.
This is KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, and 88.1 KFCF in Fresno.
I mean, not the blinds, the curtains. Say, that CD player looks like something I could...
We're gonna get a CD player tonight!
It's John Hill running after the CD player theme.
Yeah.
He was sitting in his car outside.
You're not gonna catch me.
It's like Eddie Murphy, you know, swinging around the back of the cigarette truck. And...
Right, right. It's not the laughter
of Radio in Beverly Hills Cop 1.
It's Hal. It's Radio Valencia Cop 1.
The Radio Valencia Cop. The Radio Valencia Lawyer. The Radio Valencia Cocktail Waitress. And the guy who puts together cats and dogs in weird ways, the mad scientist guy. I forget what we talked about the other night.
You don't need to worry about it. It's on BJ Pussycat's Endless. No, maybe she wasn't.
Maybe she wasn't.
You weren't good enough for that. Never mind.
The diner.
You know. Well, he was hamburgering or something?
Yeah. It's a character in the Dolomite movie called Hamburger Pimp.
Right, right.
And he's always strung out, but he goes to the local hot dog shack or hamburger hut, and he's like, he tries to get, he wimpies his way to a burger.
Mm.
You know, he does a little spiel, and then they... Here, have your burger. Just go away. You're holding up business. So he's like, all right, you know, he always is happy to get his burger.
Last night we watched Beneath the Valley of the Ultra Vixens.
Was that on, that was on one of those
was
internet
it on
channels.
YouTube or
XP TV or Cathode.
Yeah. It was Cathode,
right. Because
they were having, like... Titties,
big tit
all night.
Underpants shows. Yeah, I know, I saw.
Well, it was a first for my show, but we've expanded the things from there lately, like having a show which turned out to be partly devoted to baseball.
I was doing the funeral for your old show right here.
Funeral?
Yeah. To signal, death of this show and the rebirth of the new version. But you got to say goodbye to the old first, so I hired her to do this.
There's the coffin lined with satin. That's your funeral, that's your funeral. Large enough to wear your hat in. That's your funeral, that's your funeral.
Average people, ordinary people.
Visualize the earth descending on you, clod by clod.
California.
You can't come back when you're buried underneath the sod.
No.
At the beer, we'll drink a toddy to the body, beautiful. That's your funeral, no one else's funeral, that's your funeral.
In his own hand.
There'll be horses with coal black plumes as they bear the bodies to the tombs. Or, what's the one, that is Knock on Any Door, where bad Humphrey Bogart and his criminal guys come and they take over an all-American family. That used to be shown on Saturday night at the movies all the time, you know. And finally, Frederick March gets to dump him out on the lawn, you know. But in the remake, I think it was Gary Oldman who got dumped on the lawn. Wasn't there a remake a few years ago with the same thing, only the bad guy was not Bogart, but Gary Oldman. Did you ever see that one? Anybody see that?
Wait, what?
What? What's the urgency?
What's going on here?
A remake of the old movie Knock on Any Door, where the criminals take over an all-American family. You see, we're watching
like Parasite?
Saturday night at the movies, and the criminals are scouring the neighborhood for a place where they can go in and terrorize a family and hide out, and they see a bicycle overturned on the front lawn. And in the movie earlier, the wife is always saying, Timmy, don't leave your bicycle on the front lawn like that. Pick it up and put it in the shed. Oh, Mom, you know, and so forth. So they see the bicycle. No, that one, with the one with the bicycle. We'll take that one. And my mother, who was watching, would say, see, that's the sort of thing that you could get us into trouble by doing, by leaving your bicycle on. As if Humphrey Bogart's going
to
come and take over
Bertha,
our...
Then I would have been kidnapped by these guys.
Well, and then they, you know, there are all these near things where they're almost able to tell some neighbor or a policeman or something, but something always happens, and eventually it's the knockdown...
Like Panic Room a little bit?
Horrible fight between the dad and the criminal guy, who is Humphrey Bogart in the first movie, and I believe in the remake is Gary Oldman, and it's... who's the good guy dad, you know, the much suffering, because there's lots of humiliation for him in the movie, too. You know, they put him all through Dark Night of the Soul, and
California.
There's always the threat of rape looming over the teenage daughter.
Oh, it's Arlington Road. Did you see that one?
Is that the name of it? It wasn't. Maybe it wasn't called Knock on Any Door. That was what the original movie was
called.
No,
there was one movie in the 90s with Kyle MacLachlan and Elizabeth Shue.
Huh.
I think Arlington Road.
But I think that's a different movie.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, there's a creep in our house now, you know.
And I was looking at No Way Out. You remember that Kevin Costner thing? But the Washington, D.C. Angle makes that interesting and somewhat fun. No more.
We all
want
to go to California. California.
And no more Charlotte Mallard Swig. She apparently died. I didn't note when, but I'm now reading about her funeral. So no more Rose Pack, no more Charlotte Mallard Swig, you know, all these people who really changed the look of everything in San Francisco are now gone. Head of, what did they call her? The head of protocol for San Francisco?
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break, Ski.
Yeah, but that's the hurricane world ever.
When everyone crowded under the Golden Gate Bridge and then no one could crowd off. You know, and the bridge started to sag from the weight of all the people. Charlotte Mallard Swig jumped up on a car and tried to direct everybody with a bullhorn. Of course, it was completely useless. You know, people were packed in, and they were really unable to move. There's no use telling people to back up unless they all back up at the same moment, which they weren't about to do. But I most resent the changes to the museums in Golden Gate Park, which used to cost $5 and a free day at the beginning of the month, and now cost $40 and free day. What's that?
My wife wants to go.
And they got rid of about every interesting thing there, and made it about how Gavin Newsom wants you to use a low flow toilet.
With the way out craze of the
Dallas. But
let's go right there.
I went there the other night. Day and Flash and Dana are working on some stuff, and it was fun to hang out with them and get Flash's very strong opinions, which he has about John Law and Burning Man and Jerry James, the changeover. And he said they called him and said, well, we decided that you get to come to Burning Man. And and you can even rent trailers to people, although it's illegal for anyone else to do it. And he said he felt, oh, that's too bad. He was looking forward to not doing it, you know. And now this great honor has been laid on him of having to go out there and do it again. But that means he'll be
Klingon honor
at the camp, at Art Car Camp, the fun camp. They're not selling coffee anymore in Center Camp Cafe. Not selling lemonade because
you get free coffee.
Because of cups, you can't leave a trace.
Stupid old dog.
So
pour the hot coffee in my little hands.
Well, of course, Flash doesn't drink coffee, but some of us do, and it's a bitter pill that you can't get iced coffee now. It used to be possible to 100-foot walk from Art Car Camp, you could get coffee.
I was ranger and I got those for free, and I'd always get the chai, the cold chai.
Or mocha, or all of those things, but now no baristas, no lattes, no line, just hippies doing their
just
stuff.
Just souls, a henda.
You can still get ice, that's the thing, but not in any other container than a plastic bag. And you'd better not leave that plastic bag or you'll get 1,000 demerits. Too plastic, man. It's plastic. Plastic people doesn't respect the earth. It's made of extruded petrol.
Run a drone shot along the road to Burning Man. All the motorhomes going
right,
1 mile an
hour. Idling in the dust. The tailgate party that lasts days while it inches, you know, 45 feet ahead and then waits for the next 2 hours.
Sign me up.
Until finally you get to the greeters that hug you and then go through every inch of your stuff looking for stowaways and contraband and welcome home.
I snuck Jody in 1 year. When was that?
Yes, I know. Well, but nobody would suspect that a ranger would do it.
The guy actually looked behind, you know, just...
Rangers aren't corrupt.
Greeter-like, yeah, the greeter-like person.
He looked at the lump in the back.
He still looked at the lump in the back. I was insulted, you know, with my little cute ranger car.
But and the lump didn't move.
Right, and she was so small that she just looked like a bunch of sleeping bags.
Uh-huh, you know? Yeah.
And... yeah, and then she went off, like Sven, I think, that same year.
Thank you.
Lincoln president had that same moment. I'd never thought that, but then driving over this uphill over the Sierras, the burning man, and finally passing people.
In the giant RV.
In the giant RV, and Doug saying, come on, man, you may want to die in an RV. Yeah, but it was good we were all there because he had a way of distracting himself.
Didn't it overheat on that occasion?
I don't know because I wasn't looking. I didn't mind.
I believe that it did, and you had to get to a gas station and have water sprinkled on the radiator while the engine was still running and all that other stuff.
That's right. Yeah, that's a run on the way out.
But you shouldn't stress those giant buses on those on that long pull over the mountain, but people do it. It's happened more than once in Burning Man expeditions that I've been on. Rusty Rebar and his crew. But Spy was indignant about it. She thought that he unnecessarily endangered all our lives. And it was a terrible expedition leave.
We all want to go to California.
Well, how did your lives almost end?
Well, there was something awful about the one vehicle, which was called... What was it called? It had a very disrespectful name. I can't remember what it was called. But it had electrical problems even before it got to Burning Man. And the lights went completely out as we got onto the flyers. So we were driving forward through a dust storm with me sticking a flashlight out the window and Spy going on and on about, this is a disgrace, you know. But we had to get to where we were going. What was it called? It was called the Open Wound. Because it had been called the Open Road, but the letters had been changed around. And you know, that skeleton you gave me? Squelette, it said, was her name on the box. You know. We would always arrange Squelette to sit in a chair by the side of the road and be waving at traffic by the mailbox we set up and other things which distinguished our camp. And then we added to that, and we had these skeleton cats and dogs that would be there and would be activated when somebody went by. He's still got Squelette in his garage, I think. I think he went to the non-official Burning Man after having told me he was sworn off going there forever. But I guess Stuart Mangrum would still be going. Yeah? You'd
yes,
think.
I believe so.
Yeah, he would. Maybe I should get in touch with him about the show thing. You need somebody who understands what I'm talking about when I'm talking about it.
Yeah, it's funny how this generation's changed on that thing.
Well, I used to be able to go to BMIR and just essentially do a show there, and it was great, but... Eventually, all those people were gone, and then the people who were there had no idea who I was, and they would take everything out of the studio, like all the notes and things that you were supposed to read, so you couldn't make any announcements. And they'd just be sitting there drinking and playing their awesome music. Just like Radio Voice.
What? Yeah, I'm on Radio Valencia, and everything's all shorting.
Oh, it's awesome, but they periodically report problems of, hey, the station's not on, the computer's down, you know, anybody know what's going on?
Yeah.
The feed's off, my show won't load.
That's just regular show stuff. You've got to get out
the
there.
The CD player won't work.
Swim the storm, the quiet storm.
Deal with it. Get used to it. Sell Grit, America's most obscure right-wing newspaper. Here are some of the prizes you can get. 72 subscriptions, a horn that fits on your bicycle, 200 subscriptions, a radio.
Right.
get everyone on your block to eat grit, and you can have the bicycle or the electric train. No, no, no. It's true. Kids could do it, although kids found that selling people on that newspaper's virtues when they went door to door was not an easy job. Not what you call a sinecure. It was hard work, training for a life as a shoe salesman with J.R. Bob Dobbs, slapping shoe leather as you went from door to door in Dallas, Fort Worth area.
I'll slap your shoe.
Join the happy crowd. Be one of that milling, bleating throng.
So the,
K-Rob's talking about the old sloppy wave. Fun radio.
The human.
And there was no delay.
And you were listening up in K-Robville.
Seen it? Yeah, there's like there's delays. It's a computer thing. You gotta say .org and all that kind of business.
Right. And don't say we. And
well, me,
don't talk. Don't say anything we just said.
Instructed to say
it's all
we on
about
RV.
The show and it's technical and
on RV.
Look,
the
see, there's
the
John Hell alert.
You gotta say we on RV.
It's going to wake him up. He's going to call.
It's the Hell and Friends alert.
Oh, somebody's not saying we on the station again. Damn it.
Now I got to put my pants on. Sorry, kids and wife.
All right, this is it. This is their last
This is the deal. Now, one more time. And you're really out of here.
It's all bleary-eyed with a bathrobe.
God damn it. All the way home.
My wife's going to be so mad at me.
Yes, I've got to get out of Dobbstown.
Get out of Dobbstown before dawn and do the show.
Now, I understand that
I'm still not getting the right coverage in the Dobbstown Mirror. They mentioned the RV show, but not the other show.
From the planet Roman.
Oh, you know the name of
and here in the land of Dominic.
Not the Relodio or no?
Everything's nice and
easy. They don't do Relodio. Or do they? Did you get a copy of the Dobbstown Mirror?
I did, but I have not checked the last page.
Ah, yeah. It's on the last page. The last
That's where this
page.
Show belongs, on the last page.
Well, that's odd. Why would K-Rob go downstairs?
We don't enter into every show just to change the content.
Right.
No, he's right there.
It just seems that way.
Wait a minute. That's like a Black Mirror version.
The shows
of
you love are still there.
Which Alice the Real?
On our stage, actual RV DJs will be downloading actual RV excellent music from the cloud.
And not one roommate radio conversation in the box. Yeah, you take the blue train to make out room.
That's the first place they want to visit when they come to San Francisco.
You want to go to the makeout room.
Take the blue pill and
makeout room. And drop in next door. And
how did you make out?
The
K-Rob show.
You don't know. The door's open.
So I just, what do? I just talk into the microphone.
Just tell them that they want to go to the makeout room. It's all we do on this show. They just talk.
What should I say? Tell me what to say.
It's just talk. It's like going all night to the makeout room. You can't beat it with a stick. Because you don't want to. It's the last makeout room in town.
It's the happening
show. So get your hand to that bowl of Fritos and call.
Give them what they want.
Which one's the real guy? See? It's cool, huh?
Yeah, right across the chops with a dead fish.
Well, these are trademark-free quotes now, you know,
from trademark Gunderson. It's K-Roborated. Fritos, some computer glitch will chili cheese
this
Fritos.
Is the I'll do you too, Sean.
I'll do you too. Now you could do everyone at the makeout room.
Hey.
Late night radio people. See, there's a delay. and it's confusing to your mind.
But use your mic as a radio.
I never hear the delay. Because
use your phone as a tape recorder.
Speakers when I call.
And use your phone as a microphone?
Yeah. No, that's not what I said.
I call
go ahead.
As a microphone.
That's the old over-the-edge slogan.
It's all about
turn off
Don
your radio tonight. And use your phone as a microphone.
Did you listen to the Don soundtrack, by the way?
Don.
No, I haven't yet.
Which soundtrack?
There's an Indian
movie. I haven't
Indian
listened to any
name.
Of the files. I took like about half.
Oh, that's like a gazillion, hours of. No, there's an Indian movie called Dawn. You can see parts of it on YouTube. Maybe the whole thing on YouTube.
Oh, the Dawn movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the one that the documentary.
Oh, no.
Like
but yeah.
In your brain.
But it's like it's an like, Dawn.
And
Dawn.
Every time he goes into Dawn, there's choruses of Dawn, 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 do 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 do.
All right, right.
And lots of good Dawn quotes. And no, I'm too smart for you. Yeah. I just figured if you ever did a Dawn show, that will help you a lot.
But not a Dawn Trump show.
That would be his son, right? I mean, you'd say informally Dawn.
Dawn Trump Jr., yeah.
DJ TJ.
Don Donaldo.
Or D. Yeah, Don Jr. Trump Jr.
Donald Duck.
There he is now.
Wow, I don't know if I have it.
Uh oh.
COVID?
Yeah. You want to stand over there, please?
And now, Michael Pepe.
Be quiet.
Thank you. Don't tell Michael Pepe to be quiet.
Yes, I see. Yes, I see.
Proceed, Mr. Pepe.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. All right, that's enough.
Yes.
You must remember this.
You must go at the playground, parks, or zoo. Be sure to
a Frito is still a Frito.
The child murder case also inspired the making of a second film.
Well, feed him too many Fritos, it's a clear case of homicide. Munching, munching Fritos. Munching, crunching, munching, chewing, chewing, gulping, munching, swallowing, munching, munching. Munch, munch. Munch a bunch of Fritos. Corn chips.
Partner, you just
brought
the world's biggest
thing. You said a mouthful. Munch, munch, munch. Well, you gotta stop to breathe. You gotta stop munching to breathe. Nuh-uh. I can munch and breathe. I drew that guy in the comic too, the slide trombone guy.
How many
were
you expecting? Half a dozen. Two half.
Be quiet!
Shadrap. So is the banker's heart the last of the stations of stupid?
Yes.
And the tomb of stupid is the first. Good. I'm glad I got that right.
Me too.
It's the show. Yeah, I know.
Rudy man, same man that does the bees.
No,
bees.
Grabbing man.
Beagles. Katie Dids, the grasshoppers.
The show.
And the Ladybugs in their smashing new debut motion picture. I've been slap happy for years.
You know, before they said it is written, they used to say, for so the prophet spake.
And so saith the prophet.
You're breaking up.
No.
The gift of prophecy has always interested me. Can you really use your powers to see into the future? I can foretell certain events.
There will be no wedding.
When And the cries of joy shall become wails of mourning. Slap. You have done well, Sinbad. I could not let that swine offend the princess.
Oh, nice. You have done well.
Yeah, after he punches out the magician, you have done well, Sinbad. I was only describing what the shadows showed me. If you like, I could create a magic spell to ward away the danger. In return, I suppose, for the ship and the crew which you have requested. Such a request would not be out of the... So, your powers are a cheap scheme. Get out. If you are found within the city of Baghdad, your eyes will be torn from your sockets. Although he's still hanging around the next day, when Sinbad tries to persuade him to go back... No, I cannot. My eyes will be forever dark. Oh, don't worry. I'll take care of that. Just come.
Greeting and a greeting scene.
For the potion to work, we need the egg of the rock. The giant bird that nests on the peaks of Colossa.
That's right.
It is no use, my caliph. We must outfit a ship in an expedition without delay. Just like this guy wants.
And don't drink this river wine either.
Why not? Would you care to try it? Go, Lauders.
I'm not gonna do it.
That's right. Okay. Here, drink from the pool he has forbidden. I'm just a barely English-speaking Spanish extra in this movie. But all of a sudden, I've got this whole scene. Like the guy who goes, I can go no further. And then he falls off the cliff. Thud. Allah finds many ways of dealing with hungry men.
That's right.
Well, gee, if it wasn't for Allah, you know, I'd... This is the Valley of the Cyclops. We must split into two parties. But why divide our forces? Because if one is captured, the other can rescue them.
That sounds reasonable, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can't see anything the matter with that. We'll divide our forces. The magician says to him. Now you go over there where there's that giant furniture and the huge club with the spikes sticking out.
Oh yeah, sure.
Just wait around and see if somebody shows up.
Man, that's not right.
It was said that after this movie came out, Gola was a big superstar in his village. The village became known as the one that Gola came from. And he was depended on to be there at every screening of the movie. Remember the mutiny scene in the film?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, there's a knock at Sinbad's cabin door, and when he answers it, the first person who comes through is Gola, barreling through with a right hook to the jaw, knocking Kerwin back. Gola, the leader of the mutineers, but of course the others put him up to it, as they always would.
I thought the guy that ended up with the... He ended up steering the ship, you know. It was a full port rudder!
Danny Green, the British actor, Danny Green, you know, he's yelling it. But nobody can pay attention because of the wailing demons. They're driving everybody cuckoo. The sound penetrates even here.
Has the whole ship got banana juice?
Here, put wax in your ears and wrap your turban around your ears. Then the wailing demons will not drive you crazy. That's fine. Now we won't be driven crazy. We'll just be wrecked on the rocks and devoured by sea serpents. Well, you can't have everything.
That's what Torrin Thatcher said, right? Well,
you will see. Winds will drive the ship past the island of wailing demons. Did you ever hear of the Primevals?
No.
Stop motion animated film with giant yetis and reptile men and things like that. It was being made by David Allen, who was stricken and became fatally ill.
Without the arrows?
And died, but his friends have been continuing to make every shot that the movie needs, and it's they got a little bit of financing, and it's almost ready to release.
And you're still not home.
It's probably, you know.
Needless to say.
And
when? This is causing me just...
What about it? What? It's,
when?
No one knows when all these shots are finished and edited in. And it takes some time to produce them, especially when there's no real budget.
Only to discover you went home.
It's been going on for years, but it's... I've recently seen footage. It's got some interesting stuff in it. Certainly the giant apes and things that move with a good sense of bulk and... probably the actors will be the weakest part. The Primevals. Look it up. But David Allen did the animation of the whatchamacallit, the Chasmosaurus in When Dinosaurs Rule the Earth. The only dinosaur that was in the movie. Because James Danforth was too busy to do it, though hired to do it. Because of the idiocy of their producer, they didn't have the right stuff in the frame to be able to add the special effects because it was too small. It was not shot with special effects in mind, so hundreds of hours had to be spent creating large matte paintings to expand the screen area so the effects... stuff could be introduced. So Alan ended up animating at least 95% of that whole scene. And did a lot of good stuff. But then he grew fatally ill and died, surprising everyone. He did some of the animation in Star Wars of the little hologram creatures hopping around and so forth. Some of that was his. Bill Tippett worked on that. And on the Ebor Sisk in Willow. The two-headed monster called the Ebor Sisk. Like one head is Ebert and the other is Siskel. You know, they feared the bad reviews that their movie would get, and so they named the monster after those two critics in advance. Yeah, they gave us a bad review. That's because we made our monster. They can't be trusted. The movie isn't really terrible. No, it's just that...
In Gremlins 2, they put... what's the guy that had the Entertainment Tonight movie review segment?
Hmm.
He ended up introducing a lot of Disney DVDs.
John Tesh?
No, he kind of looked like John Landis, but he wasn't John Landis.
Huh.
And he had in his bit in Gremlins 2 was he said, "I'm Leonard Maltin."
Oh, Leonard Maltin, right?
With the movie police, and he like blows a police whistle. And he goes like, "These gremlins, they're just slimy and terrible and blah, blah, blah." And then the gremlins take revenge on him in the movie. You know,
right. There's the bat gremlin and the spider gremlin and all these mutant gremlins turned out of Christopher Lee's lab.
Yeah. With, he says, "Things and stuff. It's no longer a human world anymore.
It's just a little paramecium and stuff."
First there was gremlins, and then there were ghoulies and goofies or whatever they were.
You got any?
Yeah, well, there was, there, ghoulies, certainly. Of course, there were chameleons.
And chuds.
Chud, yes. Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
They're out there.
I thought it was Chuckle, like Bride of Chuckley or something.
Bride of Chucky. The Chucky series.
With John Tesh.
Was he in that one?
No, who's the girl
he
in
just
it?
Really wants, he likes John Tesh.
In
the Chucky movies.
You know, you're straining my power of recollection.
Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly, that's right. Was in the
Way of the Tesh.
I mean, the, the,
You got the Tesh!
You want to know better.
This is T-E-C-S-H,
Tesh. Well, Lisa Gibbons was in RoboCop 2 as one of the newscasters.
That's
trying
right.
to interview the old man at the end.
She
when
worked
he puts
Jerry
up,
Lewis telethons, too.
Yeah.
She was in John Tesh, too.
I preferred her to Mary Hart, whose voice supposedly caused epileptics to go into seizures. It was Mary Hart and John Tesh after...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And John Tesh himself recorded several musical albums with himself as the voice talent. He eventually ended up on the planet Teshtoba as the supreme ruler of a group of beings who were unable to see in the normal way since they had no eyes. They could apparently navigate. And isn't he in some werewolf movie? Well, maybe not. Of course, Dean Stockwell was in The Werewolf of Washington. The Washington, D.C. werewolf story. Was that the president was a werewolf in that one? And the werewolf itself, that movie was Kerwin Matthews, eh? Was it? No? No, maybe not.
You had me.
I thought it was. I thought it was. Kerwin made an interesting non-monster movie about the Garment District of New York, which had Lee J. Cobb in it, and, you know, it was all sort of like On the Waterfront, except with the Garment District. It wasn't too bad. And then he was in an incredibly dreadful film, really regrettable, disturbingly bad, called Battle Beneath the Earth, where these Chinese guys are tunneling through from China to invade America.
Not Battle Beyond the Stars.
Well, that was a different one. But Battle Beneath the Earth, that was one of Kerwin's last pictures before he got into the home furnishings trade in San Francisco.
Hi, I'm Kerwin. I was in the dirt.
And I could prove it.
Do it today.
So that's
flawed
logic.
Relax. Take it easy. Relax. Flawed logic.
What's that guy doing?
Relax. Take it easy.
What's that guy doing?
Relax.
What's that guy doing?
Unreload.
Relax. Deal. Take it easy.
What's that guy doing?
Unreloading.
Slap. Relax. Take it easy.
Yeah, there it is. Flopped you.
It's okay, corroborated. All right, there we go. We've got a citation.
Give them what they want.
But so, can I ask a
great
question
here, right? Slap, like the hot kiss at the end of a wet fist.
You're listening to Melodia.
A slap across the
all hits all the time
with a dead mackerel.
Yeah.
Like it or lump it.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool.
You want to slap somebody? Slap me. Here's my face, right? Oh,
somehow
another slap.
Well, satisfies
like a good slap.
Satisfies like
a slap.
Nothing
yeah.
satisfies like a
KPFA.
Like a Charles Schlapp production.
Magazine.
Seriously, this is what the public finds entertaining.
Only the public of Reloadio.
Reloadio.
Slap happy radio.
Which you can, well, and also you can say the words the FCC vomits on.
Yeah, we already did that. The Will Smith famous words.
The end of his career. And he volunteered to go to Ukraine to fight the Russians. There he goes.
What about the one where Kirk slaps himself?
I don't remember that one.
Remember when, well, he was kind of forced to because Armin, the telekinetic, you know, king, you know, could, he was...
Are you sure about this?
Yeah, they were like these Greek gods, you know, and they...
Oh, yeah.
It was the interracial first kiss, even though it was, like, really creepy. It was, I don't know, did that even count as a kiss, you know?
It did. It was very controversial. It was thought that the southern stations wouldn't show it, and some of them didn't. But as you point out, it was made by the Platonians for Kirk to do it.
I guess we're all Will Smith now.
Yeah.
I think he got the point. None for you. I'm sorry, not for dogs. Just people. Sorry. Have a dog biscuit. While I light up this giant one. Don't show your teeth at me. Don't growl. Have you sent off to be experimented on? On the Lovecraft. I can
say that. Totally broke up with me.
I thought it was going to be something different than what they were doing.
そういえば加湿器の設定忘れてた。
Beware the toddler.
Supposed to say excuse me.
Well, excuse me. Yes, the toddler is a monster that was created by Satan. To punish evildoers for not doing enough evil. It makes a sound like rabbits screaming, they say.
There. No, I'm losing it again.
And when it comes after you, it gleeps you, whatever gleeping is. That's how the Duke of Coffin Castle died. He was alone in his tower, counting all the jewels he had been given. Suddenly, with a sound like sighing, all the jewels dissolved into tears. Because they had actually been wept by a strange woman named Hagar, who had the unique ability to cry precious stones, diamonds, and so forth. But after 2 weeks, they always turned back into tears.
Righteous dude.
I don't care what we'll say to them. You gotta tell me the truth. You can't lie to me.
Righteous dude.
And it was at this point that the total appeared.
Know the name of that righteous dude.
Those fascist pigs were hassling some righteous dudes.
He's in the book.
Oh, Shaughnessy, throw the book at them.
Yeah, what's your badge number?
Well, I guess our lapel cams are having a malfunction, eh? Too bad, nobody'll ever see this.
You're a good cop.
Dirty O'Neill, a good cop, they say. Suddenly, with a sound like sighing, all the jewels dissolved into tears. As they had actually been wept by a strange woman named Hagar, who had the unique ability to cry precious stones, diamonds, and so forth. But after 2 weeks, they always turned back into tears.
Righteous dude.
I don't care what we'll say to them. You gotta tell me the truth. You can't lie to me.
Righteous dude.
And it was at this point that the total appeared.
Know the name of that righteous dude.
Of the Lord, the Lord is not slack with us concerning his promise.
Yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy
servant warned, and keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors?
When people like us,
deliver me, thou, from secret fault.
When you came out of that house,
keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright.
Look, I told you that was, all right?
Incapable of a great blasphemy or something like that. Then shall I be upright and like an upright piano? Okay, what is it anyway? Hold on a moment. Let me get my subconscious mind on the case. I'll fish it out. I gotta get back to the newsroom. We have a deadline. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and not guilty of the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? I'm talking to you, Who shall dwell in thy holy hill.
What's wrong?
He that walketh uprightly and forwards and not backwards and speaketh the truth of righteousness in his heart. Something like that. He that backbiteth not against his neighbor, nor taketh up a reward against the innocent. He that brusheth his teeth three times a day and observes sanitary matters. He that dresseth smartly with matching sock and suspenders. He that doeth these things, he shall be above all men exalted.
Sat on the railway track.
His heart was all aflutter. A great big train came round the bend. Toot toot peanut butter. Oh, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good line. Oh, the Rock Island Line, she's a word to rhyme. Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good line. If you want to take it, get the ticket at the station. Get the ticket at the station for the Rock Island Line.
Action.
Action. A, B, C, W, X, Y, Z. The cat's in the cupboard and he don't see me. Oh, the Rock Island Line, she's a mighty good line. Oh, the mighty good road, she's the road to ride. So here's a part of the St. Stupid's Day Parade where it's strangely becalmed and everyone's just standing around. They're playing their instruments. Their faces look dazed and confused.
There's Michael Pepe in the center of the show.
Is that him?
Yeah, the red hat on.
Wow. Son of a gun. It is Michael J. Pepe. But, oh, the camera's shifting. He's just now crowded into the edge of the screen. Now he's obscured by the special effects. But he was there. Now there's the big drum that Big Bishop Joey himself plays. Here they come with a rum-tum-tum with clarinet and the big bass drum. You'd think that Benny Goodman was arriving.
The world's fast is growing stag religion and 150% less dogma. It's a light religion.
Yes.
One holy day a year.
What?
One holy day a year, and today is it.
This is it.
There they are. There they are.
Don't forget to remember what you forget.